You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
He's all over the station. He's got his fingers in the K Show and the Carlin Show. We bring him in, Rich Kleiman. Rich, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, Dave. What's up, man?
I hear you on all these shows, and I keep saying to the guys, how come he does the Carlin Show? Why is he on the K Show? We can't grab him on a Saturday morning. So I'm happy to have you, man.
They keep us apart, man. They don't want greatness on Saturday morning.
You think that here's the worry, that we put on such magical radio that they have to find 3 hours for us to do a show possibly daily.
Just us. I think that's what it is. You're right.
I think you could be right. So, all right. So you're with KD. Let's give everyone a little background to you. KD, 35 Ventures. You got a new a documentary coming out. Is that my understanding? On May 15th, Basketball County?
Yes. On Showtime. It's a story of PG County where Kevin and an incredible amount of WNBA and NBA players have come from. And it's just kind of like the history of the county, the backstory on how basketball plays such a big part in the county and vice versa, and then really just like also leaving it open to your imagination on just how like so many players have come from this kind of county in Maryland and went on to have such great success through the sport of basketball.
Who else is from there? What are the big-time players are from that county?
What's his name again? Oh, you said one. What are they?
Yeah. No, what other players are from there?
I got Victor Oladipo, Quinn Cook, Jeremy Grant, Jerrion Grant, Len Bias, Alex English. There's so many. I'm obviously blanking now. Ty Lawson. It's just an incredible amount. Rebecca Brunson. So many WNBA players too. Nolan Smith. It's just like the list goes on and on and on. So it's next Friday, 8 o'clock on Showtime, the 15th.
You went to Maryland, is that right?
No. I grew up in New York City. I went to BU for a year, but then I came back to New York to follow my entrepreneurial dreams. But I have a very close relationship with the entire county. I've been working with Kevin for 8 years. Even before that, back in my music industry days, I represented this rapper, Wale, who's also from there. So I've spent a lot of time. We built the Durant Center in Suitland, Maryland, which is in PG County. So mm-hmm. I close ties.
That's pretty cool. So let me ask you this. I don't want to just interview you here. I want like us to do a show where we talk about sports and everything going on. But how did you ever hook up with Kevin Durant?
I wanted to be in sports my whole life. I tried desperately as a young kid to like speed that process up. Once I realized that I wasn't going to play at any high level, I just wanted to be around the game. The detour that it took me was into the music industry. And fortunately, obviously everyone knows how closely tied music and hip-hop especially and basketball are. And, you know, I was fortunate just from being in the music business that I was introduced to Kevin his rookie year. I took him to a Jay-Z show with me. And we stayed tight. We stayed texting and talking hoop. And then when I finally was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to move into sports again and kind of leave my music industry ties behind, just jump all the way into it, he was one of the first calls I made. He was in a transition period in his life professionally, and that's how it works. It's timing. And he came over to Roc Nation, where I was at the time, and he was obviously a big fan and enamored with Jay-Z. Him and I had a close relationship, and we worked there for a few years as I was his agent and manager. And then ultimately, we both wanted our own business. You know, I think, you know, we learned so much, and he wanted to have his name in the big lights and build something that he could leave for his kids and his grandkids. So did I. We had so many interests outside of just like an agent-manager relationship in terms of media and investing and philanthropy that about 4 years ago, we started 35 Ventures.
It's awesome. It's a great story. Now you guys are unbelievably successful. So Rich Kleiman's going to be with us for the bulk of the hour here, 98.7 ESPN. Now, you're a New Yorker, so people hear you. You're not like some guy that's from San Francisco, flies into New York trying to take this town by storm. You are a born and bred New Yorker, right?
Born and bred in Manhattan. Yeah, I grew up uptown on the Upper West Side. I've lived all over the city. I really only left for a year. I went to be, 2 years. I lived in Boston for 2 years. But I'm a born and bred New Yorker, and I'm not going anywhere.
So are you similar age to me? I'm 47. How old are you?
I'm so much younger than you. I'm 43.
You are. You know what? When you get to 47, 43 is a lot younger than that. So we had a conversation that was interesting earlier on the show, because obviously 50 years for the Knicks winning the 1970 championship, and today's actually the anniversary of the 73 title. What, in your mind, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I'll tell you some of what people had to say. What is your top New York sports moment or a couple of your top New York sports moment that you've ever experienced?
Oh, okay, I can answer that. That's fun, man. I could do this all morning.
Well, this is what we do. You think we're going to bring you on and bore you? No, we're going to put on a fun program. It's very interactive. You're cool with taking calls also, right?
I'm ready to take calls.
All right, let's go then. So here's the question. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Let me tease it out. 800-919-3776. Top New York sports moment. It doesn't have to be that you've experienced, right? It can be just one that you've heard of. You want to say Lou Gehrig's speech. You can go far back as you can.
Got to be what I've experienced.
Go ahead. All right. So you want to do what you've experienced, but anybody can kind of create their own. 800-919-3776. So for what you've experienced, Rich Kleiman, in your 43 years, where do you go?
All right. So all four Giants Super Bowls were incredible, but the last two when they beat the Patriots and the first one in 07, I'll put it on a top of all of them, have been incredible.
Yep.
The first time the Knicks made it into the finals in 94 and Ewing standing up on the podium, incredible. The Rangers' goal in overtime to beat the Devils, incredible. 86 Mets, incredible. But I think if I had to pick one, as much as I just was obsessed with the Knicks growing up, it's got to be the Giants-Patriots Super Bowls.
So you're going to go 42 over 46, though, right?
Yeah, 46 was incredible, too, but we already had a little swag. Like, I was like, we really could win this. Whereas 42, it was like, I mean, that was just a magical moment. That's like,
and think of what New England was. Right? Like New England's New England anyhow, and it's Belichick and it's Brady, and we understand that. But 42, they were undefeated. They hadn't lost a game the entire season. They were two touchdown favorites in that game to beat the Giants, and the Giants shocked the world. And remember Brady giggling, they're going to hold us to 17 points before that game, and the Giants beat them 17-14. That to me, and this is pathetic, and I don't know how much you know about me, that to me is not one of my greatest sports memories. That to me is one of my greatest lifetime memories. Period.
Straight up. I couldn't agree with you more. That's honestly, it's like marriage, two kids that day, for sure. The whole
Super Bowl
run that year, day right after marriage and kids.
So I got my wife this homemade, not a post because it's cooler than that, but it's like this homemade carved out etching, right? And it says May 8th, 2004, which is our anniversary. And then it says the date of birth of our two children. And then it has the two Giants Super Bowl dates, 42 and 46. And at the bottom of it says, our greatest days that we've ever had together. Because for us, and it sounds like you're the same kind of guy, those are our great memories.
Dude, I swear to you when I tell you this, no lie, I have thought on many occasions about getting a tattoo on inside of my wrist, because I have one on my left wrist, of my wedding date, the birth of my daughters, and the day the Giants won the Super Bowl. I'm dead serious. Scary. This is why they kept us apart, bro.
This is. So are you finding we're like 8 minutes into this? Have you fallen in love with me yet?
I feel like we're related almost. I feel like we've actually been brothers.
It is very, very possible. Rich Kleiman with us here, 800-919-3776. All right, let me take it a step further. Were you at any of the games that you so adore?
All right, so Knicks game, yes. Ranger game, no. Both Giants Super Bowls. I'm torn on this. I was not at either. I had an opportunity at tickets. The second one, I had an incredible setup. But I had a crew. I have like a Giants crew that rolled with me through both playoff runs. Mm-hmm. And logistically, I couldn't get everybody there with me. And I chose crew at home over the moment of being in the stadium. And I don't regret it, but I always have to qualify by saying, for my own ego, I guess, I qualify by saying I could have been at both, but I chose to be at home with my crew, and it was well worth it.
See, here's how you and I differ, because it sounds like we have a lot of similarities, but here's how we differ. I can't watch games with people. I cannot do it for multiple reasons. A, I go crazy. Like Giants Super Bowls, I was naked. I know I was naked by the end of the Super Bowl 42, carrying around my newborn son singing We Are the Champions. So there's no way I could let anybody in my house. I don't feel like I can be me when I have just people from outside. And I have friends that love sports as well, but I mean, how do you watch games with people? And then another thing is, I just don't find, and this is obnoxious, I don't find that a lot of people know as much as I do, and I hate questions during games.
So I agree with you, but you just got to set the bar higher. Like, so the people that won't understand, like don't know what the flag is before they've called it, they can't come into the house. It's got to be people that are sitting on the edge of the seat, glued to the TV, that can call the flag, can know before the ref has said it that the play's coming back. That's the bar. If you don't know that, at the minimum, you can't sit down. And then I want you with the same angst and frustration as I have over the small plays that no one else would pick up on. And if you can talk that talk with me, I want you in there. But I hear you, man. There's very few of those people. I feel like we
you're almost like a secret society, right? Like you have to pass the test to get into the house during a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Or especially if we watched a playoff game. Like, I've had people that have watched a playoff game with me during that run and weren't back. Like, they were there for Tampa.
You get entry into one time, and then if you don't capitalize, you're out forever.
Then Dallas happened the next week. They're like, well, hold up. Well, Rich never called me. And then Green Bay, they're already mad. They're like, Rich cut me off. And then Super Bowl, they're more worried about why they weren't invited back. But, yeah, if you can't stick with it, then you can't come. You know what I mean? Then you can't come in over the house to watch. Period.
Now, are you torn? Because you're a Knicks fan, right? Huge Knicks fan.
I am, yeah.
Are you torn, being that you're a KD guy, that you guys have partnered together? He's Brooklyn, you're a Knicks fan. Like, is there some kind of a pulling at your heartstrings there?
No. I'm a Net fan, too. I'm a Net fan, too, now. And I'm, you know, and everyone should understand that. Like, it's like you work with someone for 8, 9, 10 years, especially in our business, your work friends are your family. Those are your real friends. Those are your brothers. So, you know, just like you would anyone in your family, that's a no-brainer. So I love the Nets, and also they don't make it hard to love because they got a great organization. They got great people around. And also, you know, I worked for Jay-Z for a while. So 8 years ago, I was going to Brooklyn Net games, too, and I'll watch any game, but, you know, I can love both teams for now. I know a lot of New York fans think that's impossible, but not if their bro was on the team. You'd be able to love, too, just like I love the Knicks and the Warriors, and I love the Knicks and the Thunder.
But if the Knicks-Nets Eastern Conference Finals, where are you going? Where are you going?
Where am I going?
Knicks-Nets Eastern Conference. Now, I don't know that we ever get to that day. It seems very far-fetched right now, but Knicks-Nets Eastern Conference Finals, where are you going?
I mean, I'm going with KD.
Oh.
But the problem is when you're so enmeshed in the sport, and Knicks fans could be mad about me saying that, but it's a very rare circumstance that I'm being asked here that probably, hopefully it does happen. But if any of those people were in that same situation, they would say the same thing. Now, in 10 years from now, 7 years from now, if Kevin's not playing and that happens again, it'll probably be a different answer. But right now, it's clear as day.
All right, Rich Kleiman is with us. We're going to take your calls, 800-919-3776. Best New York sports memories, we're going to tackle that as well. You're a huge Giants fan, so I want to run through the schedule and Joe Judge and the Giants with you as well. So we have a lot to do, 800-919-3776. It's Rothenberg and Kleiman, finally together. Where have we been? On 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
On May 15th, which is what, next Friday, right? It's called The Water, Showtime documentary about what? What's the county in Maryland, Rich?
It's PG County, and the name of the doc is Basketball County in the Water.
You guys didn't plan for it to come out during the pandemic. The perfect time, because all you can do is just watch documentaries every single day.
That's very true. Yeah, it's tough to even use the words like fortunate or anything like that during this time, but from a business standpoint, you know, we create content. So, you know, the Stephon Marbury documentary was out last month, and that got proper eyeballs, which, you know, was a blessing. We had a documentary, Cue Ball, on the San Quentin prison and the inmates that play basketball there.
Oh, wow.
That ended up getting, you know, more traction than this last few months than it had the last year it's been out. And then our platform, The Boardroom, you know, we've just constantly been creating more and more content. And, you know, people hopefully are distracted or entertained as much as you can be. But, yeah, like that's one business that I guess you can say in some ways is pandemic proof. If you're doing like a studio film or shooting on location like we are for a series we have on Apple, that was halted. But for the documentaries, we've been able to actually finish this one up every day and editing and cutting, you know, even while we're all quarantined. So, you know, we've been lucky in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. People are going to love it. I mean, you love documentaries. People are looking for things to do. So Basketball County comes out on Friday. Speaking of documentaries, have you watched The Last Dance? I'm sure you watched all 6 episodes, right?
Of course, man. I'm watching that like I'm watching a Super Bowl, you know, like I'm on the edge of my seat. It has not disappointed in any way. I liked 1, 2, 5, and 6 the best so far. Obviously, the Knicks episode was both bittersweet and exciting to watch again. But Yeah, I mean, this is like, especially our age group, like that was like our prime, when our prime teenage sports fandom is like when MJ ruled the world, and it just brings you back to that time. So it's
it does. It's hard for me. I got to be honest. Like this is not easy, because I'm you know, similar of age, although I'm a little bit older than you, and you know, I'm 21 in 1994, and the Knicks were right there, and Jordan, and you don't know this, I'm 8 years old. I'm watching television. This larger-than-life figure appears named Patrick Ewing. I fall in love with Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. First time I laid eyes on him, I'm a Georgetown fan. They go, they play North Carolina in March of 1982 in the Superdome. Georgetown loses that game because Jordan hits that shot. Then he beats me and the Knicks and Ewing every single step of the way. So this is it's great. And I'm enjoying it, and it's wonderful television, and I'm watching with my kids, and they're completely involved, and I get to explain a lot of things. But to say, Rich, that there is not a lot of pain and sweat for me personally that goes into watching this would just be untrue.
Well, please don't lie to me. And the other thing is, you said that they beat Georgetown, they beat me, and then they beat the Knicks. When did he beat you?
Well, I'm a fan. I'm a huge Georgetown fan. So basically, all he did my whole life is beat me.
I know. You know what? You're right. I feel you. But if there's anybody that you're going to take those defeats from, it's MJ. I feel the same way. But I never. It's weird because like I hated the Bulls when the Knicks played them, obviously, and that goes back to like 89 Patino's team that they should have actually beat them. They were higher seeded when the Bulls beat the Cavs in the shot over Elo. A Knicks, I actually wanted the Bulls for that series because that series we had home court. Then obviously every other series through the 90s. So you watched at the time I hated Jordan, but as soon as the series was over and he went on to play whoever in the conference finals or finals, you still hated him or didn't you then jump right back
him
on board?
No, I got. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. We have a newfound friendship. I'm not going to lie. I detested him. I rooted for anybody over him. Here's the thing, and you'll appreciate this. When you're a kid, your friends and who they root for and how they treat you really defines you. So the kid lived like four houses down. He's a huge North Carolina basketball fan. So in North Carolina, and remember that team was Worthy and Perkins and Jimmy Black and Matt Doherty and of course Michael Jordan. The bus stop the next morning, Rich, was like torture. So he's taunting me. And from that moment on, I was like, I can't stand this Michael Jordan. So under normal circumstances, I can understand why maybe you would enjoy Jordan after he beat the Knicks, but no, I was scarred forever. So I rooted for the Suns, I rooted for the Jazz, I rooted for the Cavs, the Pacers, I rooted for Reggie Miller, Rick Smith. I'd root for anybody over Jordan in those Bulls teams.
Well, I love the 90. I mean, the Pacers were big for me too because Mark Jackson was like my version of Patrick Ewing for you, right? So like, I love St. John's. When he was drafted by the Knicks and won Rookie of the Year and an All-Star, that was my guy. And then I followed him in the Clippers, the Pacers, the Nuggets, the Raptors, the Clippers. I mean, the Pacers again. So 98 Pacers team, that's coming up, I think, tomorrow, this Sunday. That's pretty devastating because they had that. Pacers had that in the fourth quarter of Game 7.
I went to two Game 7s with Jordan. Two.
I know.
And the Knicks 92 were the first one.
I know. No,
with
not
even
that
McDaniel.
Oh no, McDaniel. That was Pat Riley's first year. That team was incredible.
Oh, that was
so fun, man.
We talk about the Pistons as the toughest team we've ever seen. That 92 Knicks team was ferocious, weren't they?
I know. I was just reading an article on Dave Checkitz did in the Daily News with Bondi about the Charles Smith trade, about trading Mark Jackson, not re-signing Xavier McDaniel. That broke me up, man, because that team, like, that was, like, what happened was Pat Riley's, like, young, I mean, Rick Pitino's young Knicks were everything. Then Pitino left. They had, like, two rough years. They had John McLeod and Stu Jackson. Mark fell apart. It was just, like, a tough period. And then they beat the Celtics in Game 5 in that, like, playoff series, which had a little more of a spark. Ended up losing to the Bulls the next year, and then Riley came,
mm-hmm.
Everything back, it was popping, Mark was doing his thing again, Greg Anthony coming off the bench backing him up, Then they went and got Charles Smith, Doc Rivers, and like I love those teams too, but I really like that original team was my squad.
All right, people are lining up. They want to talk to us. 800-919-3776. I want to run through the Giants schedule and talk about the Giants with you as well. But let's go to Stanley in the Bronx. Stanley, you're first up with Rich and Dave on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on? I hope all is well. I wanted to chime in on the best sports moment for me. I'm 36 years old, and I think the best sports moment for me was the New York Mets after the 9/11 tragedy in Shea Stadium. I wasn't at the game, but just watching it from home, you can feel the electricity that was running through that stadium, and that was the old Shea Stadium, I believe, and it was just so big. It was just so big, and you know, and they were a good team. And I wanted to ask, do you think will we have a moment like that when fans are allowed back in the stadiums, whether it be football, basketball, baseball in New York, do you think we will have a moment like that, how it felt in Shea Stadium due to the teams not being so good?
Well, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Stanley. Rich, I don't know that it's the teams not being so good. I think it's more of that was such an impactful moment for New York, and this is more of an impactful moment for the country. Like, everyone is going through what we're going through, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago and L.A., and I mean, we're all in the same boat now. That, granted, it was terrorism on U.S. soil, but that felt very New York specific to us here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that, I mean, I think Stanley's right. That moment was pretty incredible, the Piazza home run in the rain. But I agree. Like, I think we could maybe even be a year or two away from that feeling. Whereas, like, you know, it was a very patriotic thing as opposed to this being a global pandemic that we're all trying to figure out emotionally what it even means. And when you return to play, I think these will be studio games where obviously there's no fans and they're trying to make the experience at home that much better. And we may have some semblance of like that feeling. But I think when there's a confidence level again and the world hopefully resumes and there's a vaccine and people are back in a stadium one more time, having that moment, realizing what had just gone on for 2 years, then I think you get that like chill worthy moment again. But man, that was an incredible night too. There's just so many, like if you're a sports fan, you can answer that question forever because there's just so many moments like that. But that Mets moment was big too.
It was. And the Mets have had a few huge, are you a Mets or Yankees guy?
Mets fan.
Nice. You're a good guy. So you're Giants, Mets, Rangers?
Yeah. And Knicks.
And Knicks.
Yeah. But so but I'm like one of those guys that, like, I don't hate the Yankees. I never hated the Yankees.
You should.
I did not like the Islanders and Devils growing up. That one I didn't love for sure. Even the Jets I don't mind. Like, whenever the Giants have been out, like, I was really, like, jump right on the bandwagon for the Parcells Jets in 98. I remember even in 86, like the Pat Ryan little playoff run they made. I used to call 976-1313.
Which means you were a gambler back in the day then.
I mean, I was a gambler, yeah. Not at 10, but I definitely was. That's why that first Giants Super Bowl was that much better, because not only did my favorite team just surprise the world, but we just covered plus 14.5. We're buying the half a point, too. So, yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, that was, and they won outright on the money line. That's a big win there, huh?
I'm totally forgetting that. Yeah, that was the big hit. Was the money line for sure.
Yep. All right, I like it. 800-919-3776. We continue with the calls. We got to go through this Giants schedule as well. It's Rothenberg and Rich Kleiman with you on a Saturday morning, leading up to Anita at noon, right here on 98.7.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Now, next Friday. Showtime documentaries, how you can check this out. How long is the documentary?
A little under an hour.
Okay. So it's not too long. You're not investing in like a season of Ozarks. It's under an hour.
No season of Ozark, even though Ozark's incredible, but
it is. What's your go-to? What have you dialed into here during quarantine to watch?
Oh, this show Defending Jacob on Apple. I've watched a ton of documentaries. I watched the one on Mr. Cartoon and Esteban in L.A. I watched Michelle Obama doc. Mm. Watched Tiger King, obviously. Watched this show Strangers, this whole series. I banged that one out in one whole night, like random things. Then my kids, I got a 10-year-old and 6-year-old, so I'm watching a lot of, like, Duff and Buddy, Bake Offs.
Oh, nice. So you really are 4 years behind me. So I'm 47. You're 43.
Yeah.
My kids are 13 and 9. Your kids are 10 and 6. It's a little strange. The It is. It's lined up here.
And let me ask you a question, because I started getting a little depressed yesterday about my kids getting older.
I'm not going to help you here. You're asking the wrong person.
When did the 13-year-old, like, when did you realize they didn't want to kind of sit on your lap anymore? When did that happen?
So probably around he's not like a huggy, touchy kid. We hang out a lot, but he doesn't want to, like, always, like, you know, sit next to me while we watch a movie. But middle school for us started in sixth grade. He was difficult. Like, you know, he got a phone and he could walk, leave school by walking home. And like, he was very independent in sixth grade. He wanted no part of me. Girls became a big factor in his life. Seventh grade, he's kind of recalibrated and he's much better. We hang out a ton. And then my 9-year-old can't get enough. He thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world. So
the boys, you're two boys.
Yeah, two boys. So you have two girls?
I have two girls. Yeah. And they're just, I still got them. They're like, they're both, I can cuddle with one on either side now, so I just don't want to lose it.
I know. I don't have the answer for you, and I don't know the dynamic of how it works with the girls, but it'll change. It'll still be awesome, and then they'll, you know, have new avenues of their lives that you'll, you know, appreciate. And yeah, but, you know, the, like, hanging out, your arm around them, sitting on the couch watching TV, the 10-year-old, yeah, you probably have another year to 18 months of that, and then it'll probably move in a different direction. I'm sorry. Rich, I can give you nothing but honesty. I have to be honest about this.
Nothing but honesty. It's just depressing, man.
It is. It's funny. When my older one started to pull away, I said to my wife, we got to have another. She's like, no. She's like, I asked you for years to have another and you told me no. And I was like, yeah, but now he's pulling away. We got to have another. And
dude, you can't go with that. But you got your dog or something. But you can bribe them, man. I'm thinking, like, I can bribe them. I can bribe them to just cuddle and hang with me. I think I'm going to do that for a while.
Yeah, I think you should. As long as you can, to keep them close to you is probably the way to go. All right, 800-919-3776. By the way, have you watched Hunters at all, the Pacino show?
No, I have to. I watched the first two episodes, like, pre-pandemic, like, right when it was going down. And that hasn't fit into the routine yet, but I got to get back to that.
Did you like the first two episodes?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, okay, there's some watches that, like, you got to lock in. There's like a focus watch, and that one I got to really focus.
I'm telling you, I'm not spoiling anything with you. The end will blow your mind. Season one will blow your mind. All right, you want to run through the Giants schedule a little bit here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you on board with Joe Judge?
Yeah, definitely I'm on board with Joe Judge. I mean, I like, you know, I wanted a big name, like we all do. Like when I was younger, I always wanted a big name. But then you realize, like, these big names start as Joe Judges, you know? So I feel good about it. Now, every Patriot Belichick disciple has not worked. You know, it's not like a sure shot. But
no.
Good about this guy. Plus, he's starting in these just, like, uncharted waters. This has got to be testing his leadership and his kind of character and strength. And if he gets through this, which he will, then, you know, I see a bright future. This could be one of those moments like we were talking about. So I'm excited about it. I'll tell you, though, every year I go through the schedule, somehow I end up at 13-3. So I don't need
to. I'll tell you, if we run through the schedule right now and you wind up at 13-3 with this Giants team, then God, you're the most optimistic man in the face of the earth. God bless you.
Try to be a realist for this one. But every time my brother and I do it, I get them at 13-3.
All right, let's see if you can get them to 13-3, then you should have your own show here on 98.7. You ready? We're going to walk you through here. Be honest. Can you be honest, or can you not take your Giants hat off?
Dead honest. This is going to be as serious as it gets right now.
All right, I'm going to go along with you here. Now, I love the Giants, but I don't think they're a tremendously talented team right now. So I'm going to be honest as well. They're home to the Steelers Monday Night Football 7:15, hopefully on September 14th.
All right, so I'm taking the Giants because. Because Roethlisberger's out for a year. It's all new to begin with. There'll probably be no fans in the stadium. A lot of excitement for the Giant players around Judge's first game. Teams are getting used to each other anyway. Steelers are not the same Steelers of the last few years, talent-wise. And again, Ben's kind of coming right back with, like, we don't know what the offseason looks like this summer. So I'm going to go with the Giants, 1-0.
I'm not even going to argue with that one. I think that it's fair that the Giants could, in theory, win that game. 1-0, New York Football Giants. At the Bears, 6 days later.
6 days later at the Bears.
Yep.
Man.
You got to imagine Nick Foles is going to be under center for Chicago.
Why, you think Trubisky doesn't starts either game one, or you think he's the game one?
I hope Trubisky's the starter, but I got to figure that Nick Foles gets the job.
All right. I mean, listen, if we just beat the Steelers at home, why? I mean, the Bears D is incredible, but why can't we shock them again? Listen, I'm going to be real as we go, but I think the Giants get off to a good start this year.
All right, 2-0. Joe Judge 2-0, darlings of the NFL. Week later at home against the NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. Rich, if you go with the Giants here, you're going to have them finishing at 13-3.
Oh, 2-1. 2-1.
Okay. At the Rams, new stadium. At L.A., cross-country, at the Rams.
2-2.
At the Cowboys.
I can't even allow myself to say what I'm going to say because of how I feel about the Cowboys, but you asked me to be honest. I'll go 2-3.
All right, 2-3, Giants-Cowboys. Giants have fallen now three times in a row, according to you. They're 2-3. They come home for the one game they're actually favored this year, as far as Vegas is concerned, that is the Washington Redskins on October the 18th.
Well, listen, and this goes out to KD, his brother, and all the Redskin fans. That is a cakewalk. We'll be 3-3 after that.
So even though you're a huge fan of KD, and you guys have combined forces with great business acumen, and he's a Redskins fan, that does not matter. You're Giants through and through.
Yes, come on. That's
okay. 3-3. Short week at the, and this is some stretch. Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles, 3 weeks in a row. At the Eagles, Thursday night for the nation to see.
Nah, 3-3, which I'm cool with.
You had us 3-3, so now you're 3-4.
Oh, I was at 3-3?
Yeah, the Redskins brought us to 3-3.
All right, so we're 3-4.
All right. The schedule's not easy. Now you get extended time off. You go from October 22nd to a home game against the Bucks on Monday, November the 2nd, but it's the Bucks and it's Tom Brady coming to MetLife Stadium.
Well, we got Joe Judge, who probably got some tricks up his sleeve in terms of preparing for Tom Brady. Giants always play the Patriots well. I'm thinking that the Bucks got off to a very fast start. They're feeling pretty high in themselves. They come into the Meadowlands. The world's coming back to normal a bit. And the Giants need to make a defining moment, season-making win, and they do. They beat
all
the
right.
Bucks.
I like it. I'm not going to argue with it. 4-4 for the New York Football Giants. This is the Rich Kleiman Giants prediction segment here on 98.7 ESPN. At the Redskins.
Oh, come on. 5-4. We take care of business with them.
All right. Were you disappointed the Giants won that final game against the Redskins last year?
Honestly, I wasn't. I just feel like you got like for football, you get some wins on the board just culture wise, and it's good for young players. It's good for a young quarterback. So I'm cool with that.
All right, I disagree, but you have it like that. 5-4, home to the Eagles.
It's not on Chase Young.
Yeah, I mean, if he turns out to be, you know, an elite edge pass rusher, that's going to haunt you for a long time. And now he's in Washington.
Yeah, but what if Andrew Thomas is a 12-year Pro Bowl lineman?
Then you're right. Then you win. I hope you're right. I hope Andrew Thomas is unbelievable and dominates Chase Young for the next 12 years.
Andrew Thomas is a cool lineman name. It feels like he's just like check the box lineman, Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, you know, like plug him left tackle next decade. 13 years, don't even worry about it. All right, we're 5-4. Big game now as the Philadelphia Eagles come to town.
Ooh, that's tough, man. That's tough. But you know what? I think at this point, like, Daniel Jones is no longer, like, a young quarterback. We're a season and a half in. Saquon's the best player in football. He's got an MVP season in the motion. Sterling Shepard has come back in as good a shape as he's ever been. We have, like, legitimate wide receivers in him and Tate. Ingram stayed healthy. Our line is holding up. Our defense has been solid at best, keeping us in games. And I think we're going to beat Philly, and people are really starting to pay attention to us.
Well, I'm paying attention because now the Giants are 6-4 down the home stretch. And with the extra playoff team in the NFL this year, they have a real chance to go to the postseason. So now a very winnable game at Cincinnati and the Bengals at 6-4.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think our defense that weekend starts really coming into shape. We put a lot of pressure.
I love the analysis. You're the best.
Really good about it. We just decided to play mistake-free football. Saquon had season-high carries, 14 catches out of the backfield, too. Fantasy numbers off the charts, and they're going to win that one again. 7-4, and we just
cracked. 7-4. Giants are rolling. I mean, they are the darlings of the NFL with a young quarterback and a young running back and a first-year head coach, and you can feel a palpable buzz as they travel cross-country to take on the Seattle Seahawks.
Yup, and the back page of the Post, Judgment Day. Will the Giants be able to solidify who they are and beat Seattle in Seattle? Now, they also used to really play well there as well, but we're going to take a loss on that one, 7-5.
So we're coming back to normal life here. We're 7-5 with a home game in December. Maybe bad weather as the high-flying Arizona Cardinals come to MetLife Stadium.
Well, the weather's shockingly good that day because it's so cold in May right now that it's warmer into the winter. So on a warm December day, Kyle Murray's got his ankle's a little he got a bum ankle from the week before, so he's got to stay in the pocket a bit. And we're going to beat Arizona, and we're going to be 8-5 now.
8-5. The Giants are on their way to the postseason. And then our dear friend, and I don't know how you felt about this. I could not stand Odell Beckham. I thought he was such a me guy. So much drama with him. And Odell and the Cleveland Browns with the Giants at 8-5 come to town.
Okay, 8-5. I want to stop for a second and just tell you that I disagree with you on Odell Beckham. I think that sometimes you can see the same picture in two different ways. And Odell Beckham got a bad rap for things that people wanted to harp on and didn't get enough for how hard he worked, how talented he was, how much he changed the game. And I do regret that trade. I think the Giants will regret that trade. Even though we ended up with Daniel Jones, there was something unique and generational about Saquon and him. That being said, we will beat them that week.
9-5. Now it gets difficult.
Yeah.
I think this is the best team in football on December the 27th, 2 days after Christmas, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
They're coming to town or we're going to Baltimore?
We're going to Baltimore.
Oh, my God. I may even make that trip. Baltimore is going to win that game, but we're going to show the rest of the league that we could play against anybody.
9-6. Now, Rich, you know what you've potentially just done here? Set up a Giants-Cowboys for the division game on January 3rd, 2021. We're no longer in 2020. The misery that is 2020. We've turned the calendar to 2021 for the division, potentially. Giants hosting the Cowboys, and the result will be?
So this is one of those incredible NFC East season finales where you win the division, and you get to host a home game the next week. You lose, you're not even in the playoffs. It's raining that day. Oh, my God, is it raining? Saquon is 121 yards from breaking the Giants' single-season record. And true to form, we carry the big dog all the way through, or he carries us. And Dak throws a late interception.
Which is not surprising.
Jabril Peppers jumps the play, picks it off. Goes down on a knee. Giants sit on it. We win the division. The 5,000 people that were allowed in that day are going crazy. Fans at home are going nuts. You and I are having a radio show, emergency radio show, to talk about how my prediction was spot on. The Giants win the division.
All right, I will make this promise to you right now in blood. If the Giants go 10-6 and beat the Cowboys to win the division, when the game ends, because you imagine that game will potentially be flexed into a Sunday night game, immediately following the game, I will stay up all night long doing a radio show with you up to Gordon Damer at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Deal.
Deal. Done. 800-919-3776. Let's go rapid fire with some of the calls and continue along with Rich Kleiman here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Would you not say this is one of the fastest hours in the history of the world?
Ever. Ever, man. Record-breaking.
Record-breaking. All right. Phone calls lined up. Why don't we bang out a couple, and then we'll call it a day and hand it over to Anita Marks. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard is on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Dave. Rick. Rick, why did KD end up at Texas? I mean, the school has no history of basketball. He grew up in the D.C. area, Georgetown, North Carolina, ACC, some big Eastern school. He would have been shining there. How did he end up going to Texas? What was the lure of Texas for him? I mean, they had no history of past basketball.
Well, if you remember, they did go to the Final Four with T.J. Ford back in the day. and lost to Syracuse when Carmelo was that year. But, Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's a good question. You know, I think that that was shocking for a lot of people close to him. But when he went on his visit there, it's one of those things where, like, you're not expecting it, but you fall in love with a place as soon as you get off the plane. You fall in love with a coach. And
the coach was Rick Barnes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he's still close to Rick Barnes to this day. And, I mean, and when you go back to when you go back to Texas and Austin with him and you see the way he's treated and to see the effect he had on that entire town in just 1 year with no ties to it, it all makes sense. But it's a good question because I think, like, even he probably thought Georgetown, Syracuse, North Carolina, those were the schools he was headed to. But
did he think he was going to be a one-and-done player? Did he think he went there with that intention?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think he realized how impactful he'd be as soon as he got there. But, you know, he was the first year that one-and-done came back. So his
that
mind,
was 2006,
like,
wasn't it? 2007?
Yeah, 2007. So right. That, like, his senior year in high school, he didn't know yet. So he was thinking to himself, like, he could be a right to the NBA guy. And then they changed the rules, so obviously he had to go to school. And it worked out, clearly. But, you know, I think Texas ended up just being one of those places where, like, he just felt a feeling that when he got on campus that he didn't want to lose.
You know what stinks about that draft? Greg Oden went first in that draft, right?
Yeah.
He was such a star. And would have been such a great NBA player if not for the injuries. That always bothered me, that we never got to see how good he could have been.
Yeah, no, that was sad. That was sad. And it was just like, it was painful because he got these like two-game glimpses and would have just incredible numbers in such a short period of time. And he was so well-respected. And I know KD has a very like close kind of special place in his heart for him too, just because of how tied together they've been.
Well, let's go to Dave in Queens real quick. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Rich. You're two entertaining dudes. Let me tell you, rapid fire, right direct at Rich here. Rich,
yes,
Daniel
sir.
Jones will, in my opinion, my friend, have more fumbles lost, not recovered, than Mr. Saquon will have rushing touchdowns. That's my opinion, Mr. Rich, and you're the best too, Rich. You are good, and Dave, later, buddy.
A lot of negativity. I mean, why would you, Rich, how much better do you think the offensive line is going to be year two for Daniel Jones?
I think the offensive line will be a lot better, but I think what he's saying, though, is that Daniel Jones seems to or has appeared to have one of those, like, quick fumble guys, those guys that, like, you touch the ball and they're not holding on to it the right way, they lose the ball too quickly, not throwing as many picks, but lose the ball a lot. But no, I don't see that. I don't see that because I think that the difference here, though, is Saquon's numbers are going to be off the charts this year. This feels like the year where he had an incredible rookie year. I think he was as good as he could have been expected to be with the injury last year, and then this coming year is going to be off the charts. So I think you're going to get some real deal rushing touchdown numbers. So I'm saying no go on that one.
I'll tell you what we can't have. You were very optimistic, 10 wins, win the division, all that. I'll tell you what, if Daniel Jones has not fixed this fumbling problem heading into year two, we're going to have a major problem with the New York Giants.
Yeah, for sure. But fix is like, that's, you know, it's too open-ended. I think he'll be better than he was last year, but those kind of things come with, like, knowing the pocket.
Having experience.
Experience.
Of course. All right, listen, we're done. I appreciate it, man. This was great. You got to come on again at some point.
Whenever you want, man. What else could I be doing on Saturday morning?
It's true. You could watch Hunters with Al Pacino, which is very, very good, episode 3 right now.
I heard the finale is incredible.
Yes, you have some good people feeding you information. Rich, awesome stuff, man. I'm going to check out the documentary on Friday on Showtime. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, bro. Take care.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.